Hi, I'm Ruthie Bowles, owner of Defy the Status Quo, and you're listening to an episode of the Defiant Business Podcast, your 10-minute daily shot of business knowledge. You don't have a lot of time, and I'm not going to waste it, so we'll just jump right into it. In June, I attended a Startup Grind Baltimore event for companies that are growing and looking at things like investing and, you know, pitching and stuff. And Aaron Sue was the speaker that night, and he gave us all a lot of things to think about in terms of pitch competitions. So now keep in mind, my understanding is pretty basic because I'm just now starting to look at pitch competitions now that I've got ideas that might be worth pitching. But basically, you go and you talk about your business for a predetermined amount of time. You may be able to have slides or props, or you may not. You may have 5 minutes or you may have 1 minute, and that's the competition. But usually some pre-stated amount of money is on the line. And for many of them, you don't have to pay it back. There's not like interest. And depending on the organization, they may or may not, you know, require you to like report heavily your activities. There's all sorts of things, and you kind of have to look at the individual organizations. But he gave us some tips, and I think a lot of it kind of crosses over into what you'd consider to be good public speaking, just not use anything. So it could be the difference between, you know, at least the free tools being a, you know, at least a light in the room, right? Versus you walking around dark. Or the paid tools being like, you know, the super bright LED lights that just illuminate everything. Because there are some, you know, differences. And like, so one big one is that most free tools don't offer very comprehensive competitor research. And the paid tools do. And with a new or small, they're really good. So figuring out what it is that you're confusing people on or what you're not saying, he says you can pick that up by listening to the questions that they ask you, because that tells you what they didn't understand or what you didn't say. So you can, if you get consistently some of the same questions, you can add that into your pitch. I thought that was a super awesome tip. When you're going to an actual competition, Aaron said that you always want to ask what your allotted time for your presentation is and what your allotted time for your Q&A is. You don't want to have your presentation and come up too short. Because if you do, you're probably not making, you know, the best use of the time given to you. He mentioned researching the investors and the structure, and then structure your pitch accordingly. So some organizations are a bit more about like social impact or world impact. What good things are you doing? What good things are your product or whatever your business idea is doing? And then some investors are all about the money. So if you know you're going to one that's more about impact, then just spewing numbers and statistics at them about how, you know, your projected stats are, you know, how your product is going to do would not be as beneficial as exploring maybe statistics on the actual impact, the social impact that your product could have. But if you were going up in front of investors who are very much about, okay, how much is this going to earn? How am I going to make money? Then those would be the sorts of numbers that you'd want to share. So it's not that the information you have is invaluable. It just may be that you may not have the right audience for it if you don't do that research ahead of time. And he says you should pitch the problem, right? Like, this is why you should care about the solution. So you start with the problem and you move toward this is why you should care about the solution. And I think, I mean, of course, people can understand the problem. They may not understand your product initially, but they'll be able to understand the problem. And then he mentioned, like, how do you know which competition to go to? And he said that he used Google a lot, but then because he had talked about his idea with so many people, he was able to leverage his network to kind of be, you know, the eyes and ears out there. So whenever they heard of something, they would come and tell him. And I mean, how great is that? I mean, it's basically like the referral network you're looking to build as a small business owner anyway, you know, product or service, whatever it is that you have. And, you know, hearing about pitch competitions where your product, your service, your services would be, you know, of interest to investors is something you might miss, especially if it's relatively small. He also mentioned that VCs and foundations really like Twitter. So that's kind of cool. So if you're looking to get into pitch competitions, you might want to check out Twitter and look for some hashtags, some relevant hashtags. He definitely said that a targeted approach to which pitch competitions you do or which pitch competitions you apply for is better than the spaghetti at the wall approach. You know, throw a handful of spaghetti, see what sticks. So he said that was definitely the targeted approach helped because it keeps you from doing a lot of wasted work filling out the applications. So that's why researching the foundations and such ahead of time, they'll help you, you know, waste time or help you not waste time rather filling out an application, especially if you fill it out in such a way that it doesn't appeal to your target audience, in this case being the foundation or whatever it is that you're applying for. He also recommended that you build relationships with the organizations that you're looking to apply to. So this, he said, you know, this includes, you know, looking out sometime ahead of the competition, but he said he's even done some, you know, kind of relationship building there at the competition. You know, you've done a good job. Now you just go chit chat with the judges or the organizer. And, you know, you don't ask about your pitches. You don't talk about that. You just talk about other things because everybody's got other pieces of life and pieces of their lives, and showing interest can, you know, gain you some favor. So when you're putting together your application, when you're putting together your pitch deck, he recommends that you have a master deck and then tailor it to the competition that you're applying for, to the competition that you've applied for and now you're going to be attending. And he says what ends up happening is this may take more time up front, but what ends up happening eventually is that because your master deck grows and you start to have these answers to these questions, it becomes easier to tailor your deck to whatever competition that it is you're attending. So eventually you will end up saving time, but you'll have a more targeted pitch deck for the competition that you're at. And that was an awesome recommendation. I do something similar with my content marketing proposals when we're working on a big project or working on a project that's, you know, expected to be long-term or ongoing. I have proposals that I've used that I will pull from to structure new proposals. So it's, you know, it's kind of like a swipe file or, like he said, a master deck. So that is something I would definitely recommend. And he said, keep in mind that you're competing as soon as you apply. So if you are interested in applying, it can't hurt to reach out ahead of time because you'll find out whether or not you'd be a good fit. And it also gives you that opportunity to start building that relationship because you're asking for their opinion. And, you know, he said, frame it around, you know, not wanting to waste their time by applying and not being a good fit. So I thought that that was a really good, you know, opportunity because you have to wonder, I guess, like how many people just apply and then they never reach out. So it might be a change of pace. It would be something different. And it shows that you take initiative. And people who take initiative, you know, that's typically a good sign of someone who's going to work really hard and move their product or service idea forward. So they would potentially be a better investment in terms of money. And he said the thing that people often forget in their pitches because they get caught up in the product or service, whatever it is that they're presenting, is the so what? Why does it matter? So he said you can always work on completing your pitch with the phrase, that's important because. So I've explained all these things. I've explained the problem. I've explained the solution. But what about the so what? Why does it matter? So this matters because, that's important because, and then the final one, and I think this one would probably work really well for the all about the money investors, but it's people will buy it because. And it's, you know, it doesn't get much more explicit than that. And he said, Aaron said, be explicit. So do your homework, establish rapport, keep your master deck and structure things, problem, solution, and so what. Okay, so goal is for that networking event. I promise you though, for most events, you're not going to leave with a pocket full of clients. So build that relationship and keep up on social media. Okay. So this has been an episode of the Defiant Business Podcast. I'm Ruthie, owner of Defy the Status Quo. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you here next time.